Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14 and look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians," that is the enemy, "whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now let me read it one more time. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Everyone say, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. What do you do when you hear a word from God, or when you know in your spirit that you're supposed to do something, and fear grips you in your belly, and you want to cut and run? What do you do? What do you do when it looks like the obstacles facing you are insurmountable? When you know that you're to do something, but you just don't know how you're going to do it. And it seems like everything is against you. Well, look at Moses, who said these words. Picture them. He was the one that God called as the deliverer to bring some 2.5 million Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. They had been there for 400 years. And Moses brought plagues against Egypt because Pharaoh, the king, would not let the people go. Until finally, Pharaoh had had enough and finally said, "Get out of here." And Moses, the chosen one of God, led 2.5 million Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, out into the desert, listening to them whine and gripe and complain. Do you know anyone like that? Look straight ahead. Don't look to your left or right. And they came to the Red Sea. And the waters of the Red Sea, I've been there. The waters of the Red Sea were in front of them. The rocks on the left, the rocks on the right, and the pursuing Egyptian army from a Pharaoh who had now changed his mind. They were pinned in. They had a word from God, but it looked like there was no way. How many of you are facing something like that in your life right now? Where you know there's something that's supposed to happen, you know. But in your spirit, you don't know what to do. You want to cut and run because fear paralyzes you. And fear is rampant in the body of Christ today. But I want to remind you that God has not given you a spirit of fear. But instead, he's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Listen, you don't have to go crazy. There's enough crazy people in the world, you don't have to add to the numbers. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And even Moses got scared until God said, "What do you have in your hand?" "I have my shepherd's staff." Lift it up. And when he lifted it, you knew what happened. You know what happened. The waters began to part. And they were able to walk across on dry ground. And when the Egyptian army came to pursue them, that scripture that I just read came to pass, because the waters engulfed them and they were no more. And they saw them again no more forever. And the Lord fought for them and they held their peace. What a powerful story. What do you do when you face an insurmountable problem and it looks like there's no way? That's what Isaac faced. Isaac, the son of Abraham, the natural son of Abraham, the promised son of Abraham, was in the land when a great famine struck. And what happened to him? He got fearful and he decided to cut and run. How do I know? Because God said to him, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go down to where your people once were. Don't go backwards. Don't fall back into the old habit. Don't put on the old comfortable shoes that you've worn. Because God has new shoes for you. Don't go backwards. Go forwards. Stay in the land and sow. Now it went against everything that Isaac had known, because this was not his first rodeo. He had gone through another famine in his father's day. He knew what to do. He knew he was to obey the Lord. However, because of the famine, the fear paralyzed him. And he said, I will run down to Egypt. And God said, don't do that. Stay in the land and sow. Well, how do you sow in a dry and thirsty land? Now, here we are in California where you don't get much rain. And when you get a quarter of an inch, you think you've had a hurricane. We had a big flood over the weekend in Tulsa. Streets were flooded. Some cars were floating down the street. We had 2 or 3 inches in a couple hours. I mean, you'd think you'd had World War III in California. But we get that all. This is not unusual for Oklahoma. The rivers, the lakes, most of the lakes in Oklahoma right now have been closed because the water level at one lake is up 27 feet. A major lake, it's closed. You can't boat on it because you don't know what, if you come near the shore, you don't know what you're going to hit. You may run into a dock and not even know it, you know. These things happen. But what do you do when it's a dry and thirsty situation that you're facing? But Isaac obeyed. He listened to what the Lord said. He stayed in the land. He stood still to see the salvation of the Lord. And he planted. Now, how does God do it? Look, I don't know how God does it. I don't really care how he does it. Stop being so doggone analytical. Stop trying to figure everything out. I don't know how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and make yellow butter. I don't know. And I don't care. But I sure enjoy spreading the butter on my bread last night. I sure enjoyed the egg I had this morning. I mean, I don't understand everything. I don't have to understand everything. I have to trust him. Trust is a word that's not often used today. We trust in things, but we don't trust in God. He said, stand still. So many people today are running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Stand still. Now, stand still is more than just physical. It's something down in your soul. It's something in your spirit that keeps you steady, steady, steady. Listen, I've lived with criticism all of my life. I got it as being Oral Roberts' son. I got it as being my own person. I'm still facing it today. But I don't pay any attention to it. I stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so far, God has brought me through. And if I will trust in him, he will continue to bring me through. Because I am not finished yet. Prophetic word was recently given over me, saw me in my late 80s, still preaching, praying for the sick, looking just as nice as I do today.
Hallelujah.
So Isaac stayed in the land and he sowed. And what happened to him? God multiplied that seed and brought him 100-fold harvest. Now that's the end game. That's the bottom line. The harvest that God has for you. I was telling you earlier, there was no way that we could do this live television program. It was impossible. I had just enough money to pay for the TV stations I was already on. I'm doing a show one day a week. How could I quintuple that and go 5 days a week? A lot more money. And when the Lord laid on my heart to do it, before I knew it, I was almost in fear. And I got a hold of the scripture. Stand still. If it was in my heart, God would make a way where there seemed to be no way. If he did it for Moses, if he did it for Isaac, and he's not a man that he should lie, he has to do it for me. And if he has to do it for me, he has to do it for you. No matter what it is, if it's spiritual, if it's physical, if it's financial, if it's in your marriage, your business, your job, your ministry, whatever it is, God has no choice because he's obligated to watch over his word to perform it. Now, he's not obligated to watch over your word unless your word is in harmony with his word. That's when he's obligated. And if he did it for Moses, if he did it for Isaac, and if he's doing it for me, he'll do it for you. And I stood still. And I picked up the phone and I called Kenneth Copeland and said, can I come down and see you? And I drove my car. Dr. Ogle, who's with me, went down with me. We drove down to Fort Worth and I sat down in his little office at his little airport there he has on his ministry headquarters. And I began to tell him what was on my heart about doing a live healing television program. And I said, Kenneth, there's no one in the world, no one is doing healing on television. No one. There's a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching, and it's all good, but Jesus talked about preaching, teaching, and healing. You must have the confirmation of the word. That's one thing I love the most about this church. You see the confirmation of the word, not just preaching and teaching, but you see the healing ministry as well. Thank God for that, and don't ever lose that, because that's what Jesus did. He told his disciples, preach, teach, and heal. That's the full gospel. And I began to say to Kenneth, I this is in my heart to do. Before I hardly got it out of my mouth, he said, let's do it live on Victory 5 days a week. Immediately my mind goes to now. Now I'm running a cash register in my mind. You all have a cash register in your mind, don't you? You suddenly go, that's going to cost me. And he said, and it'll be free. Now, do you understand the word free? My mind was going like this, and now it's going like this. Free. Free. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. And there would be no charge. And that program started off last July. And we're seeing miracles every day. And Kenneth recently told me, Richard, your program is becoming America's daily healing program. Amen. There's not another program that's having healings every day. Amen. How I thank God for that. Praise God. And there's nothing like live television because you're live. And what happens, happens. Whether you like it or not. And when the 30 minutes are over, you're finished, whether you're through or not. But I was born for it. The word of knowledge flows every day, just like it's going to flow in a few minutes here. And people are being healed, saved, delivered, and set free in every area of their lives. Praise God. It's so easy for fear to grip you. I think I may have shared this story once when I was here. Years ago, when our children were little, we came out to visit my father and mother who were living over in Newport Beach. How many of you have heard of Newport Beach? It's over by the Pacific Ocean. How many of you have heard of the Pacific Ocean? And we were staying in a big Marriott hotel up on the 17th floor. And we were supposed to preach the next morning, which was Sunday, over in Riverside for my longtime friend and mentor, Ron Halverson. Wow. Great friend of our ministry. His father and my father were great friends, and Ron and I have been friends for many, many years. We were supposed to preach for him. We were going to drive our rental car from the Newport Beach area over to Riverside to preach. When about 5 o'clock in the morning, a 7.3 earthquake hit Southern California, and we were on the 17th floor. And the walls began to shake, and you could see them moving, and the floor was doing this. And we jumped out of bed and began to try to grab our children. And we were running around like chickens with our heads cut off, not knowing what to do. And the fear just hit me in the pit of my stomach, and the devil began to talk. You know, the devil talks. And he said, "You're going to die. You're going to die. You're all going to die. You won't get to preach this morning. This hotel is going down. You can't take the elevator. You can't get downstairs in time. All this I'm hearing on the inside. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die." When suddenly, in the midst of all that, with that panic and the fear that was striking me in the pit of my stomach, suddenly I heard the still small voice of the Lord. And he said, "I've called you to 40 nations, and you've only been to half of them." Glory. He said, "You're not going to die in an earthquake." I began to stand still as I saw the salvation of the Lord. And the walls stopped shaking and the floor stopped rolling. And we put the children back in bed and we slept another hour or two and then got up and drove over and had the service. Now, what's come against you? What's hit you in the pit of your stomach? And you're coming to church this morning saying, I'm all dressed up. I'm here, but on the inside, I'm just churning because something is coming against me. And I'm here. I'm trying to get the fear out, trying to get the worry out, trying to get the problem solved. Well, I got news. You're not ever going to solve the problem, but I know one who can.
Yes.
I know the one who built everything you're sitting on.
Yes,
and standing on. And when that fear tries to come, that's when you have to take authority.
Yes.
He's given you authority.
Yes.
Over serpents and scorpions.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about spiders and snakes.
Yes.
That was a reference in those days to enemies.
Yes.
Enemies. And who are enemies? Enemies are things like fear.
Yes.
And worry.
That's right.
And anxiety.
Yes.
And depression. And discouragement. And worry. And many people today are weary from their worrying. And some of you have something that's gnawing at you in the pit of your stomach. It may not be visible physically, but you know it's on the inside of you. And today is the day to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. Not run down to Egypt, but stay in the land. Sowing this morning. When Pastor Grant was talking about the offering this morning, I reached into my pocket and I took out a bill, and the Lord said, "Why don't you double that?" He said, "Why would you only accept half a blessing?" And I reached into my pocket and I got the equal amount and I put both in. And then I said, "Now, Lord, I've obeyed your word, and you are obligated to use this seed for your glory here at World Harvest. But you're also obligated to multiply it back to me. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over." And I reminded him as he was talking. I was preaching to God while he was talking. And I was saying, "Remember, God, when you said bring the tithe and offering into the storehouse? And I remind you, Lord, I'm in one of your storehouses today. You said, prove me. See if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, so much so there's not enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer." That thing which comes to paralyze you with fear and worry and anxiety and dread and discouragement and all those things. I reminded him of that. And I'm standing still and strong today.
Yes, sir.
Because I know beyond any shadow of doubt, I don't just think, I know.
Yes.
I know that God is going to do things in my life and in my ministry because I've done my part. Now it's his part. Without God, I cannot. But without me, he will not. Without God, I cannot. but without me, he will not. There is a divine reciprocity between God and man. Many Christians today are expecting God to do it all. That's not how God works. God works supernaturally, but he also works through people. And you've got to be aware of it. We need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And when you look at the conditions around the world, if ever there was a time to stand up strong, now is the time. I was coming down the elevator in the hotel this morning. And as I got in the elevator, a family was coming out of a room right by the elevator, and the two boys were dressed in soccer outfits, and the parents had food in their hands, and they had an ice bucket there, or one of those things to carry food, whatever it was. And they got in the elevator, and we had the elevator in this hotel is slow. It's a slow elevator. It takes a while to get from the third floor down to the bottom. And I was just standing there, and they were on the other side of the elevator, and the father looked at me and said, "We're getting ready to do battle." I said, "Soccer?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "So am I." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to preach." And the woman said, "Do you have your sword with you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." And the door opened, and they went one way, and I went the other. I'm here to do battle this morning, because the devil is not in charge. The devil is under my feet, and I've got to look like it. I've got to act like it. I've got to talk like it. I'm not a worm. I'm not an accident going off somewhere to happen. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and so are you. You were made only a little bit lower than the angels, and greater is he who's in you than he that is in the world. You have within you the most powerful force in the world. You have the name of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "Before now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and your joy shall be full. You may receive in Jesus' name." And they began to ask. And when they asked, they saw great miracles. And God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in those days, he's still doing these days. And in the climate in which we live, in the state especially that you live in, if ever there was a time for you to stand up and hold your head up and be proud you're a Christian. I'm not ashamed that I love the Lord. I'm not ashamed I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed to pray in tongues. I'm not ashamed to pray for the sick and watch miracles happen. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can go to hell. Smile at me now like you still love me. Moses said, "Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord." Are you standing strong this morning? Would you like someone to pray over you concerning that thing you're facing? Well, I'm your man. Because I know what to do. And if you'll let me pray, I believe something will begin to change. Now, it may happen instantly. It may come over a period of time. I'm not in charge of that. I'm not in charge of the schedule. That's God's agenda. Who has something in the pit of your stomach that's been, you got that going on in your life right now? Just stand up for prayer. You're all over the church. I know it. I knew it when I walked in. Because I pick up things in the spirit. I pick up what's going on in people's lives. Words of knowledge like that come to me. And I know things that I can't know in the natural. And there are others of you that need to be standing right now. You've got something like that. It's gnawing at you. And you thought to yourself, "If I can just get to church, somebody's going to help me." Well, I can help you. If you listen. And if you'll obey the word of the Lord. Now, somebody who is seated next to them, just reach out and touch them. Mako si shtabra kasaya. Everyone just begin praying in tongues. Come on, pray it out loud. Don't be ashamed. Pray in the Spirit. You're in a Holy Ghost church. Pastor Grant announced that today. You're in a Holy Ghost church. I'm not talking about Casper the friendly ghost. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Lift your voice. Shena sibra kasa ya sandiasta. Kenana kisdiata na kasumbro kosodiata na kasamra. Did you not know that I not only was Moses' deliverer, but I am your deliverer? Did you not know that I not only multiplied Isaac's seed, but I will multiply your seed? But you must do what I say. That's the interpretation that came after my tongue this morning. Now, Father, I'm stretching out my hands toward each of these today. I speak to that thing that's in the pit of your belly right now, and it's gnawing at you. And by faith, I reach out into your being and take hold of it and pull it out of you. I reach in and take hold of it and pull it out of you. I reach in and take hold of it and pull it out of you. And Satan, I command you to turn loose. Satan, you are subject to the authority of the name of Jesus. And I speak in his power and in his name today with the authority that God has given me in Jesus' name. You foul demon, you take your hands off of God's property. You loose every man and every woman and every young person here today. For we do not belong to you, we belong to God. We were paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. I rebuke every fear. God did not give it to you. And if he didn't give it to you, you don't need it. I rebuke every anxious moment, for the word says, be anxious for nothing. That cancels out the anxiety, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the insomnia over it. Loose it in Jesus' name and be made whole today and stand up tall and strong and say, I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's your faith talking. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Say that in your spirit today. Say it out loud if you need to. I'm standing strong. I'm standing still and seeing. I will see the salvation of the Lord in this matter. This enemy, I'll never see again. That's what God said to Moses. This enemy, you'll never see again. This fear, this worry, this anxiety, this depression, this discouragement, I believe this enemy you'll never see again. And it was worth your trip to Windermere today, Wildermere, for this service. It was worth my trip to come from Oklahoma through Dallas yesterday to San Diego and to drive up Interstate 15 and spend the night in the hotel. It was worth it to me to get to put this into you today. God's going to take care of it. Are you listening? Are you hearing me? He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me because he's God. Hallelujah.